So, namaste, good morning, and welcome. It's good to see you all here. And without further ado, we will see what's in the satsang bowl today. How should one view organized religion? Well, it might be wonderful for some people. You know, some people seem to need that structure. You know, they need to have more rules and regulations to hang on to. You know, they haven't really gone into the deeper things of spirituality. And when you're just very surface, then that's what you gravitate to. You know? So many of the organized religions, people that go are just after the surface things. They go listen to the sermon of the week and then go off about their lives, and they hedge their bets by taking baptism or whatever, you know. It's all about, you know, what can God do for me thing. They haven't really gone into the deep soul searching and really into that part of the mystical part of it, or the inner search that starts to blow away all the dogmatic rules and regulations that you find in organized churches. Unfortunately, a lot of the organized churches, what happens is there's been a realized master, whether it was Buddha or Christ or, doesn't matter, you know, the Hindu sages and saints. And they've gone and tried to reform the religion of the day, like Christ came to reform Judaism to get rid of the dogma and all of the nonsense that had sprung up around that. And Buddha came to reform Brahmanism, which of the day was, you know, the caste system and all of the rules and regulations in that Hindu system. Okay. And then what happens is, you know, people come and listen, and then they turn that into another religion, what they think bigger, better rules and regulations. And once again, it becomes the same stifled mess that the originator was trying to break through. Okay. So I hope that people, you know, here are ready to break through that dogma and the surface, and to start digging deeper into the deeper things of spirituality, which runs like a thread through all religions. Okay? There's only one truth, one God, and it runs the same course through any religion. Yes?
When I go to the Catholic Mass and I go to communion, it has a very calming effect for me, and I can, it's almost like I can feel answers coming. Or kind of like I feel more centered on, or more enabled to like let go and stuff like that. So that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. That's fine. I started out in an esoteric Christian order as well. Went to prayers in the evening. Took communion every day. Started to open up my heart. That's where I received Shaktipat from Father Blyton. I was in an order to become a priest in that tradition. Okay? That's how it opened for me. You know, and while the ritual and everything is fine, you know, realize it's just a bridge. Okay? eventually they may fall away. Okay. But if you need it as a centering point to start to open up, that's fine. But know that that's not the end, the be-all, the end-all, that ritual. Okay, that's just the starting point. Okay. So yeah, if you feel centered by going there and you like to take the communion, you enjoy the mysticism of it, the mystical part of it, great. There's nothing wrong with, you know, that type of a thing. You know, many of the saints came out of the Catholic tradition. Why? The monks and the nuns in the tradition, it's an inner search. They have to be surrendered. To be a monk or a nun in those traditions, you must be surrendered. Their life is run around the bells. The moment that bell rings, you drop immediately what you're doing and you go on to the next thing. There's no argument. You have the Mother Superior or the Father Superior of the orders. There's no argument. They give you something to do. You have the prayers. You have the Vespers. You have, you know, your seva. Okay? And you do it with an open heart. They do it in a surrendered way. And so many in those traditions wind up with what? A Kundalini awakening. Okay? So it's a valid path. If you go into the deeper part of it, into the mysteries and open up within yourself and not just go to the surface with the dogma and the rules and the, you know, get caught up in that. But if you truly go into one of those with a surrendered heart, you can reach realization, of course. Whether it's Christian tradition and you go into and become a monk or a nun, you know, or whether you're in the Hindu path and you take sannyas. Or whether it's just through self-search and surrender. But every one of those paths has the same common element. It's a path of surrender, going within, stilling, no argument. Just doing what's given with an open heart. Surrender, let go, surrender, let go, surrender, let go. They're not chasing the world there. Okay. If they're going into it for political means, they're not going to get realization. They'll become entrapped. And there are a lot of them that leave society and go into the orders or go into it and they don't surrender, so they become political in the orders. You see that as well. But yeah, if it's a point where you're starting to surrender and opening up the heart, that's a very good move for you. That's a big step forward for you. So, yeah. And that, of course, you can continue on. There's nothing against, when you take Diksha here, there's nothing against any other religious persuasion. Just understand it. Okay. That's all. Is there such a thing as being too serious about the path? No. But understand, being serious about the path is just as I said before, surrendering and letting go of ego. If it's all about me and I'm going to get this, and you're only then making the ego stronger, then this is not being serious about the path. This is being serious about ego. okay? Ones that come with that idea, what they're going to get out of it personally, that I'm going to make my personal life better, and I'm going to get more, and I'm going to be happier, but I'm not willing to let go of anything. They're not serious about the path. They're only serious about ego. Okay? And then they will have a very, very difficult time. Because this path is being willing to let go of absolutely everything, including the self-identity. And when that's gone, then you've gained everything. When you've lost everything, you've gained everything. There was nothing to lose. But as long as you're still striving to get something and hang on to something, then you can lose everything. Okay. So one, if the path is, everything is surrendered, it doesn't matter what comes and goes at that point. Okay. Then there'll be liberation. But if it's the mindset of gathering, collecting whatever is lost, there will be great turmoil because it's not surrendered.
A lot of times I feel like I'm trying to recover some kind of spirit that I had when I was a child, you know, because I feel like a lot of people that I've run into, their motivations were to dominate and, so you know, kill my spirit. Is that?
Nobody can kill your spirit. That's impossible. Okay? You can only cover it up with the mental stuff that you accept from what happens when you're growing up. Okay? You cover it over, but it's still there. The absolute cannot be touched. It cannot be harmed. Okay? What grows up and puts a stranglehold on things for a time is the mind. Okay, I've been so abused, this shouldn't happen. How come this? Why me? If only, you know? So we become our own worst enemies. Yes, everyone goes through things in their life, especially when they're young. You know, abuses or whatever. Okay? But that's not who and what you are. Okay, so this is a path of just sitting with it and watch the nonsense that comes up in the mind and letting go of it and questioning it and finding out that's not who and what you are. That's who and what someone else thought you were, and then you accepted it. Okay, and then created your own bondage. Because actually everyone is free in every moment. And if there's a cage, you're the one that's sustaining the cage by your own mental, you know, because of the ignorance, because you don't know really who and what you are. But the true reality of who and what you are cannot be changed. It can only be covered over for a time. Okay, so you can't really ever lose it. It's just buried deeper. Just gotta, you know, be willing to let go of all these other chains and garbage you're dragging around, all this baggage you've collected. You know, we collect so many ideas about ourselves. They become barriers, they become baggage, they become very heavy. Eventually, you'll get tired of carrying it. You get tired of watching the same old storyline over and over again, the same patterns. Again and again and again, you get sick of it. Then it's time to change the real, and you start to question at that point. You know, what is this me story? What's holding it in place? You know, why do I keep suffering? Isn't it time to let it go? Because it doesn't matter. I mean, you can be basically dirt poor and still be happy, you know. Or you could have all the riches in the world and be miserable. Okay. But that kernel of truth that's within is unchanging. And when the mind stills, okay, and one surrenders and lets go of the identifications, then that ever-present truth becomes to the forefront in the reality versus a concept or a philosophical stance. It becomes actualized. Why is there evil? Or what is evil? I've spoken on this before, and I'll speak a little bit on it again. Evil is ignorance. Okay? There's really, in the end, no such thing as a, you know, something that's created evil. Even the greatest evil, which the Bible says is Satan, started out as what? The head of the choir of angels. So how did this become evil? Because it fell. It wanted that, grew up with ego, wanting the glory for itself. Okay? Instead of going with the flow, it started to stagnate and become a self-identity. Okay? Became all about him. All about my story. And then he went into ignorance. And it became evil. Okay? Every evil act has some seed of truth in it somewhere. Somebody's looking for something. Either they're looking for power. You know, even a murderer, they're looking for some power, looking for, you know, something to, you know, the wrong way. Out of ignorance, they try to do it externally instead of finding what's already here within. Okay. So evil is just light that's been so skewed that it bears no relationship to the founding truth. Okay, it's a shadow. Evil is a shadow. And the only thing that continues to hold that shadow in place is wrong idea, wrong identification, mental turmoil. Okay. The ones that are evil, they're in mental turmoil. They're not happy. They have no peace in their lives. Okay, they're trying to gravitate to everything externally. They're driven. Their minds are going 140,000 miles a minute. Like a hamster on a wheel, and they can't get off, and they don't know how to slow it down and how to stop it. Okay. It's like, you know, the Chandipat, we talked a little bit about it the other day, you know. You cut the head off of one thought, and the blood sprouts out, and 10 more thoughts come. And once they start chasing these negative things, only more and more negativity grows and grows and grows and grows until it becomes unmanageable, and it becomes evil. Okay. So that's what evil is. Do we have any other topics? I have no topic that comes. So it looks like we will have a very, very short satsang today. Because when I'm up here, if somebody doesn't give a topic, nothing comes. It's just still.
I have just a short question. Well, it's pretty big anyways.
A short, big question?
Yeah.
Okay, well, a loaded one, huh?
Well, not really. I've been thinking more and more about, you know, what I've read in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you can at least find things in there that are a lot more related to enlightenment than I thought. You know,
well, the deeper you go on this path, the more it's going to just really open it up, and you'll just read things 180 degrees away from what you were understanding them to be before. That comes. The more deep you go into it, the more you'll see there.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause Christ talked a lot more about enlightenment than I think it didn't it like get too complicated for the churches to teach, or so they just said believe in him. Isn't that
well,
what
they
about
didn't
him?
Understand his message. If they would have understood what he was saying, they wouldn't have crucified him. You know, even right. The religious of the day didn't understand what he was saying. You know, they didn't get it.
So,
they didn't get it.
So like St. Paul and them, they didn't really get the whole message.
Well, St. Paul, you know, Saul of Tarsus was not an original disciple. He came in after.
He was the enemy.
He was the enemy, and then he saw this bright light, and then, you know, he never heard Christ directly. So this is why, you know, a lot of the churches have become Paulists. They're not Christians. They're Paulists. They follow after what he was saying. Was it Paul or Peter?
Paul.
Yeah, it was Paul. Yeah, they become Paulists. And he started dragging in the dogma of the day immediately. With Christ, you know, there was women and men are equal. He taught the women just as well. And Paul was like, women should shut up. You should sit over there. Don't open your mouths in church. He didn't understand what, you know, he was not there. He didn't hear Christ originally. And this is what the church has picked up on, because it substantiates what they had in place. And Christ was there to blow it out of the water. In the very, very old catacombs, you'll find that it showed that there were women priests back at that time. The women were there. One of the closest was what, Mary Magdalene. You know, women picked up the thing, you know. He taught them just as well equally. But I think, you know, at that time he just didn't have a lot of women there in the inner group, because it would have caused conflict back in those times. But he taught everyone openly. He didn't discriminate whether it was male or female, or because you can't. Okay? God's not male, God's not female. It's the same essence in all. It doesn't matter what the outer form looks like, the vehicle. It's like a car. Every car's got an engine. Doesn't matter what the outer form of the vehicle looks like. It runs the same. Basically, the mechanics are the same. Okay? Same thing. So, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, Christ, you know, those who have seen me have seen the Father that sent me. You know, I and the Father are one. Blasphemy. You know, what I am, you are. Basically, he was saying that as well. What I have done, you can do and more. He never set himself as something separate. You know, he kept trying to break through the ignorance. You know, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Have no fear. There's nothing to fear. There is no death. Step out of it now. Okay?
The other thing I was interested in was Daniel. You know who Daniel Brinkley is?
I've heard of him.
Okay. He said like three near-death experiences, and he was talking about if, you know, people wonder, well, you know, how am I going to be judged? What are they going to measure, you know, what I got out of life or how I changed or whatever? And he said, they're not, it's not, if anything's going to be measured, it's not going to be like the amount of love that you showed. It's going to be the amount of love that you received. Is he talking about, you know, how you opened yourself up to God and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's how much you're willing to let go of. This is what God judges, is the hearts and the minds. You know, and there really is no judgment. It's all within you, you know. Okay, that's what judges. And it's not the external action. You could give $1 million to the church and just be trying to cover over your misgivings and wrongs. So other, you know, people might think, wow, it's so great, he's giving so much to the church, but then what? He's doing it out of a black heart. He's not going to gain anything from that. You think you can't buy God. You can't buy, he knows what he's done. And when he passes, he's going to have to face that. You can't get away from it. You can pull around the wool over other people's eyes, but you can't pull the wool over what's in here. Okay? And just by the very nature of the purity of what it is, I mean, it's going to hold. He's going to have to pay it in full. You can't get away from anything. You know, God's not something out there that's looking on you, and maybe you can hide something, get away with it. It's in here. So where are you going to go? Where are you going to hide? So yeah, when things drop, I mean it's like it's just all encompassing, that feeling of wholeness and that bliss. But if you've got a lot of mental stuff around it, it will be torture because you wouldn't be able to, you know, you wouldn't be able to take it, you wouldn't be able to handle that. People will have to face their minds and their mental stuff one way or another. If you leave the body and you've done a lot of very heinous things, you have to face that. You will get a conscience. If you don't have a conscience here, you'll get it on the other side. Welcome to your world, you know. Yeah. So the time to work on it is while you're here, to let go of all that, you know. All that stuff that's driving and pushing you, and surrender and find that it's already here. Like Christ said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not somewhere out there. It's here now. You know? Be still. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. I am that I am has sent me, you know? I am that I am. Okay. So again, yeah. How much love can you receive? How much can you open your heart and allow that grace to enter in? Okay. Let go of the coverings and find out that's what it is. It's pure, undefiled. Present. It's only not here because we keep pushing it away, trying to protect ourselves. We build a barrier. Okay, and create our own confusions. So yeah, the more that you, the further you go, the more that you'll understand really what Christ was saying. And you'll be able to see the dynamics of the other stuff that was in play. You know? I guess there are some Online the other day, I saw there are some Bibles out that were taken from some of the original Aramaic writings. There's one guy that speaks something that's very close to the old original Aramaic, and they've put some things out now, which you might want to look into. So, good morning. And on that note, I think we will go ahead and close satsang for now. We'll take a nice quick break and have more meditation time for today then. Namaste. Thank you for coming.